Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven is listening, so here we go.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Tuesday Talk with Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith and Derek Scales Shelton. I want to welcome you all to another edition of Tuesday Talk. Thank you so much. We've got a lot to cover today, so we're going to get right into it. How you doing today, Derek?
Well, Tasha, I wish I could say I was better than I usually am. Just so much that's heavy on my mind of some really recent incidents and situations that have taken place. It's really kind of got me under the weather a little bit, and I'm just here to try to elaborate and get some closure and get something from our talk this morning to make me feel a little bit better, and hopefully we can make some of those out there who are having some of the same situations with themselves. You know, that's kind of how where I'm at right now.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to do our best to cheer you up today, Derek, and to shed some light on some of the things that we've got going on. So I want to start first with something fun, and then we'll get into a little bit heavier stuff. So did you watch Dancing with the Stars last night?
No, I didn't. I have. That's not on the rotation. It never has been for me. Becky usually watches it every now and then, but, you know, she hasn't been either. We've got our picked out programs that we pretty much DVR and watch on delay, and we can fast forward through the commercials and get the programs in and out. But Dancing with the Stars hasn't been one. But I'll tell you one that we really do like, not to change the subject, but X Factor, British, English version or the British version. That is an awesome show. That's on the rotation,
it?
But yeah, if you get
and
a chance, yeah, you got it too. If I'm not mistaken, I hardly ever know when these shows come on because they are all DVR. They come on every night for me, so we DVR them and we play them back. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it may come on Wednesday, possibly. I'm not even sure, but
okay.
I know we watch them whenever because we got them on DVR, and then we just play them back, and go from there like that. But it's pretty good. There's some really good talent and some really good stories, and it lets you know just about how all over the world, even, you know, in the UK and Britain, wherever, people come and said their stories just like, you know, our version of American Idol, so to speak. And there's just problems going back to where we're talking about. You know, people have sad stories and inspiring stories all over the world. And, that show there, you have you kind of tearing up about every other contestant, you know, because there's some really,
oh, really?
You know, yeah, it's some really heartfelt stuff that you see in some of the talent that comes out of people with these stories, you know, that they've come from some of the hardest situations possible that you can think of. And then they're there and performing under the most drastic circumstances. Yeah. But
absolutely.
No, getting back to, you know, Dancing with the Stars, no, but I take it you saw it, huh?
No, I didn't see it, but I am hoping my mom is on the line and she saw it and she can give us an update. Remember I said she was going to be our weekly, update with Dancing with the Stars? So
if you're
listening, Mom, press option 1 and we'll bring you on so you can give us an update on Dancing with the Stars. So in the meantime, Derek, you know, I did read an article on CNN, and it was saying that, what's his name, Ryan Locke, was saying that he felt so bad he wanted to quit at one point after the incident that happened last week that we talked about where you were telling me they bum-rushed him on stage.
Right.
And I said, oh, woe is me. He wanted to quit. Can you imagine what people must think, him saying that he wants to quit after what he's done to tarnish the Olympics and tarnish Rio and the United States' reputation. So he wants to quit. Like, I mean, really, dude, who cares?
Yeah, he's probably scared. You know, I'm sorry. He's probably shaking in his swim fins. Now, I was going to say boots, but, you know, he probably ain't wearing boots. He's got shaking in his swim fins. Because, that would be something that would be traumatic to be out there and then all of a sudden you look up and see two people coming at you to do you bodily harm and you would be like, okay, what's going to happen next, you know? So
right.
I'd be scared,
absolutely.
Too.
I'd be scared, too, absolutely. Well, let's bring Miss Champagne on and see what she's got to say this week about Dancing with the Stars. How you doing this morning, Mama?
I'm doing well. How are you all?
Oh, good, good. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear your voice again. I could hear my echo again this morning. And they've got to say, Tasha, is that you? Mom, is that you?
Yes.
So we want you to give our Tuesday Talk listeners the Dancing with the Stars update. What's going on?
Well, there isn't a whole lot going on. Mr. Lockie did express some concern about the incident last week, but said that he was a six-time gold medal Olympian, I believe, and so therefore he was not a quitter. And he had no intentions of quitting. And he danced pretty good last night, but I don't think that there's any quitting for him in the foreseeable future. He'll have to get booted off.
Well, there you have it, Tasha.
Yes.
You said you think he's going to get booted off?
Oh, yeah, at some point he will. Yes, he's not that great of a dancer, I don't think, at this point, unless he continues to improve, where he's going to be a finalist.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe Dancing with the Stars will be not so happy with their ratings, but they're probably happy with them now because a lot of people are watching just because he's on there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that it's usually political, and they generally do try to get folks on there, at least one or two, who have caused some type of controversy. Because it does boost the rating.
Yeah. So, thank you for that update. Who else is on there this year, Mom?
Well, there's a football player, and I can't think of his name, but he's actually doing quite well. And Babyface is on there this year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yes, and he's doing very well. He says he was not really a dancer, and, you know, Babyface is actually quite shy. So this is like it's a challenge for him to come out of that and actually present himself. But he said he's doing it for his mother, who passed away a couple of years ago, and he wanted her to be proud of him to do something like this.
Now I might watch it next week because I like Babyface.
There's a young one of the young gymnasts that was a gold medalist, a little Hispanic girl. I can't think of her name either, but she's got this infectious smile and is just the cutest little thing. And she's doing very, very well also.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for that update, and thank you for joining us this week on Tuesday Talk with Dr. Parker Meredith and Derek Scale Shelton. We appreciate you, Mom.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Derek.
I know we got that two-second delay. Sometimes we go on top of each other, but I was just going to say, getting back to Ryan Lockie, I wanted to make the point that he'd rather get booted off than get booted on by somebody coming there kicking him with some boots on the stage. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes,
okay,
indeed.
I'll listen to the rest of your show. I'm gone now.
Thank you.
Thanks again. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay.
Wow. So, Derek, you know, it's amazing to me that this guy is still even in the news, that we're still even talking about it. But I did say last week that we were going to have a Dancing with the Stars update. So now that I know Babyface is on there, I'm gonna I might watch it next week. We'll see.
Yeah, I think I will too. And then that way we'll both be up on what it is, and we can have a three way on it with your mom, you and me, all three of us watching it. We'll really have a conversation then. We can compare notes then.
We'll be updating. We'll be able to converse with Mom on actually what's going on. So moving on to something a little more somber, Derek, unfortunately, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, which is probably one of the things you said that had you a little down, I'm guessing, today, is the recent shooting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. for all of our listeners who are not familiar. And before going to the story, I just wanted to say quickly, if you're listening online and you have a question or a comment, just press option one. Or if you're dialing in and you have a question or a comment, just press option one and then let us know and we'll bring you on the air as soon as possible. If you're listening online and you have a question or comment, you can dial in 323-642-1299, 323-642-1299. Press option one and that'll let us know that you have a question or a comment. Please feel free to join the conversation. But Derek, what I was saying was another unfortunate police shooting. It seems like, you know, we spent probably the better half of last year talking about police brutality, police shootings, Ferguson, just you name it. And now, most recently, an unarmed black man with his arms up was shot, Terrence Crutcher was shot. And what I found, well, I found a few things very interesting and unfortunate about this case. But one of the interesting things is, you know, people have been saying that, you know, white men, white male police officers have it in for blacks and specifically black men. Interestingly, this week, Terrence Crutcher was shot by a white female. And I'm not sure how often this happens, but this was actually highlighted in the USA article today. Betty Shelby, Officer Betty Shelby, is the officer who fired the fatal shot that killed Terrence Crutcher. He was 40 years old, unarmed black man. What do you make of this, Derek?
Well, I think when it comes right down to it, Tasha, I think there is a little bit of significance between the fact that, she was a female versus a male, but I think when it comes right down to it, she was white. I hate to say it, but you know how I am. I ain't going to sugarcoat nothing, and I'm going to tell it how it is. You know, she can be just as well, probably even more when it comes down to it, being a threat, being seemingly coming out, being a threat because of her being a female more so than a male, you know, and the idea that, you know, she's going to be outmatched pretty much in that way, that she's a female versus a male. But I think that there's just a thing that this underlying factor of it being the deadly force issue, period, regardless of the gender. And then there are times when it doesn't even matter the race, because we have black officers killing black people as well, and vice versa. You know, I mean, I think it comes right down to it. It's the blue against the people. You know, and I remember my big brother figure, Bernie Starks, who may he rest in peace, who we spoke about and is no longer with us, and his legacy lives on. And he had made a comment on one of he posted on one of our shows, I think the one that we had talked about, and had made the thing where, and saying that it seems more evident than anything that it's the men or women in blue versus general public. And, you know, I think, you know, that has more of a thing to do with it, I feel. But in this instance, you know, with the white female, I feel like, you know, hey, it really doesn't even make that much difference. It's, I think it's more so just a, you know, they have the guns, they have the badge. You know, countless times they've gone and been exonerated from doing, and you know, it's like it's never. And you're right, it's something that just so deep set into my heart, because you know the humanitarianism that you and I both share and how we feel about things. We just cringe and hurt from it. Even though we don't know the people, even though we don't, you know, we're not family members, it's like it is like a family member when you think about the human nature of it, you know?
Absolutely. I want to jump over. It looks like we got a question or a comment here, so I want to jump over and take a couple calls now. If you have input, please dial 323-642-1299, press option 1. and that'll let us know that you have a question or a comment. Good afternoon. Welcome to Tuesday Talk with Dr. Parker Meredith and Derek Scale Shelton. What's your question or comment, please?
Hello, Doc.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, this is Pamela Cook, Maxine Cook Johnson.
Hey,
Pamela, how
are
you?
I thought you missed us. I thought you could
no,
go to work.
No, I'm here.
To go to work and, hey, I thought you had to go to
I
work.
I go to work
and,
at Yeah, I go to work at 10 o'clock, but I also wanted to comment on that shooting that was in Oklahoma that you guys were talking about. Derek, that's my little bro. He knows my brother-in-law, Lacey Coulter.
Yep.
Okay, now Lacey Coulter, my brother-in-law, is a Pima County sheriff. He has been a Tucson policeman for over 20 years, and he has been a Pima County sheriff for the last 15 years. That gentleman has never shot a person, ever. Ever. He says that is a conscious choice. He said he's had to pull his gun, but he has never shot anyone in the last 30 years that he's been a police officer. He says it is a conscious choice to kill somebody.
Wow.
It's a conscious choice.
Wow.
You have to make that choice.
Absolutely. I
are
think
you there?
So too.
Are you there?
Tasha. I'm here, Tasha.
Yeah.
Are you there? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm here. I'm letting you all talk because we have a 2-second delay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm saying that some of the new police officers that we have that are coming on board, a lot of those people are military. Some of those people have PTSD. I know that the policeman that shot Tamar Rice had been rejected from three different police departments because of his psychological evaluation. He did not get on three different police departments' roster or get on their employment. He had PTSD. He still has it, PTSD, and he's not getting treatment for that. But he slipped through the cracks. And there's a lot of these police officers that were either in the military, and in the military they teach you to shoot to kill. They do not teach you to shoot to wound. They teach you to shoot to kill. And I think that that training needs to be, once they get out of the military and they go into civilian life, I think some type of training should be, or some type of training should be, they should be retrained, because they can't do in the military what they do in civilian life. In the military, they're trying to protect themselves. When they become civilian, they're supposed to protect us.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And some kind of training needs to be done. And I think that some police departments need to retrain, especially if they come out of the military, especially if they were in combat, especially if they carried guns while they were in the military. They need to be retrained. And that's just my opinion, because I have police officers in my family, a lot of police officers in my family. And like I said, Derek knows Lacey Coulter. He coached him in JV football back in the day. And he tells me, I talk to him a lot. He's also a minister, Doc. He's also a minister. He says it's a conscious choice to do that, to actually shoot to kill somebody. So
I believe that.
Yes, it is. It's a conscious choice, okay? You just don't up and shoot somebody on general principle. You have to make that choice.
And then piggyback on that with Pam is saying, you know, and Doc, we've covered it in some of our previous segments in the past, where we know that a lot of times it's just a racial issue, that, you know, racism comes out. You know, the height of the fear and the anxiety of everything at once upon a traffic stop or whatever the case may be. A lot of things take place in that 20, 30 seconds that something transpires. And, you know, there's a lot of things that come into effect. You know, we talked about how a lot of officers who may have been bullied coming up and decided, well, I'm going to be a police officer, I get to bully. You know, it's that yeah. that kind of thing, that they turned the hand, and then there are those who just were, you know, the wrestlers in the high school, big gung-ho football players and that kind of thing, who really had underlying racial issues. And it comes out. It does. It comes out. So we have a conglomerate of things that's causing this to be a situation, and it just has to stop. It really does have to stop.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that's education and training. Education and training and compassion, okay? You got to have compassion. Taking a life is the ultimate thing, okay? It's the ultimate. And you have to think about that. Like you said, Eric, you only have about 30 seconds to make that decision. But before you pull your gun or you're in that situation, you have to ask yourself, you know, if I come in contact with the situation, do I have to kill this person?
Right, absolutely.
Am I going to make the right decision? Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I just wonder. No, I was just going to say, I wonder if the average police officer prepares him or herself, you know, each day going out saying, if I encounter the situation, what is my reaction going to be? You know, it seems to me, I totally agree with you, Pam, that it has to be a daily conscious thought, decision.
Yes.
To remind, hey, if you know, if this situation arises, what am I going to do? You know, and I don't know that is the case.
Yeah, it's all about training and it's about education. Some of the police forces now still have that old school training or that good old boy network, and some of the rookies that are coming on, if their mentor or their trainer has that mentality, they're going to pass that along to the new recruits.
Absolutely.
You're
going to
pass it along.
Okay. Well, Pam, thank you so much. I want to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pam.
I said Derek was correct. It just needs to stop, and we got to do something about that. And education and awareness is the stepping stone.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling. And while we have you on the line, I want to go ahead and shift the topic to one of the other things that we wanted to talk about today, Derek. Pam has been mentioning something so important, and I wanted to make sure that we covered it today, and that's the need to keep our children safe and out of cop cars. That is a serious, serious issue with parents and people in general leaving their children in hot cars or cold cars. And I just wanted, Pam, if you could just elaborate on that a little bit for us.
Okay. Thank you, Doc. I do have a website. It's called Precious Little Cargo, and it is dedicated to the children that have been lost in hot cars or cold cars. It's just something that we need to make our new parents aware of. On my little blog, I have a lot of people saying that you shouldn't have to remind a parent that they have a child in the car. There are reminders around us all day about protecting our children. Watch your kids around water. When you're in a mall or you're in the airport, it tells you, please do not let your children play on the escalator. Hold their hand when they're crossing the street. These simple little reminders. And when me and Derek were growing up, before they got cable 24-hour TV, right after the news, there was a public service announcement. And that public service announcement said, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? That prompted my mom, Derek's mom, to go and make sure that her children were inside the house. Those little reminders, you know, those tiny little reminders to let people know that, hey, you have a baby in that car. And like I told you earlier, yesterday on the text doc, there has been 792 children lost in hot cars since 1998. If you calculate that out, that means we're going to lose three children every month. We have lost three children every month for 17 years straight. That needs to stop. Okay.
Wow.
Some of the media, some of the media, when they come on and they report about that, they are telling people, oh, it can happen to anybody. And I beg to differ, because it didn't happen to my mother. It didn't happen to me. It didn't happen to my daughter. It didn't happen to Miss L. It didn't happen to Derek's mother. We didn't leave our kids in hot cars. Our kids grew up. So it doesn't happen to just anybody. Now, car seats were designed to protect children, and now they're finding out that people are using it as a death trap. People shouldn't leave kids in the car for a minute. I don't care if that baby sleep, wake that baby up and take that baby out of the car. I had a little song. You can see the little song that's on my website, and it says, if I can breathe, take me out of the car first, please. If anything can breathe, take them out of the car. We take our groceries out. We take our clothes out. We take everything we bought out of that car first, and then we go get that child. That needs to reverse.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to reverse.
Absolutely.
It needs to,
you know, I wasn't aware of those alarming statistics. That's a lot of unfortunate deaths. That's terrible.
Yes, ma'am.
That is terrible, and it's the new millennials, okay? It's the people that are distracted by maybe their music in their car or their cell phones or what have you, and it really doesn't matter what the distraction is. Some people say, well, you shouldn't have to remind a person that they have a child in the car. If we don't remind them, Doc, the payout is a dead baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the payout. We have to remind them. I work for Hertz Corporation, and I'm getting Hertz Corporation to put on the car seats that we rent to our customers just a little tag that's on that car seat that says, please don't leave your child in the car alone in this car seat.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it says.
Oh,
it's just a gentle reminder.
That's awesome. What?
Okay.
Pam, thank you for those statistics. Let me ask you this. Why do you think we stopped as a society doing those reminders?
Okay, we're not doing those reminders because children don't vote. Babies don't vote. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is technology, Doc. There is an app in Google Play. It is called Precious Cargo. It syncs with the GPS on your phone and or the GPS in your car if you have that kind of car. It will sync that. It's called, it's in Google Play. It's free. You can download it to your phone. And if you get out of that car and you leave that baby or anybody in that car, your phone will ring. Your phone will ring. That's just another reminder. Everybody don't have GPS in the car, but everybody got a cell phone.
Right. That's awesome.
Everybody got a cell phone. And
okay.
It's just another way to remind the parents. I had one parent that told me on my blog, she says, Pam, if I hadn't read your precious little cargo tip, she said, I would have left my child in the car. I told her to put her purse back there where her child is. Put your purse back there. You
mm-hmm.
Okay. Put your purse. So she started putting her purse back there in the back seat where her child is. So when she gets out of that car, number one, she's going to remember her purse, but number two, she's going to know her child is in. She says, even if my kid is not in the car, I still put my purse in the back seat by that car seat. That's just another way she reminds herself. And there's other tips that people can do, but I think society, I think corporations, I think employers, all of us need to jump on that bandwagon and help. Because the gentleman that left his kid in a car for 8 hours worked at a Walmart.
Wow.
If Walmart had a public service announcement that said, hey, we want to help protect your children. Please don't leave your children in a hot car. If that man had heard that public service announcement while he was at work, that may have reminded him, hey, my son, okay? And he wouldn't have went to the car and seen his baby, not with us, okay, his baby in 8 hours. And that's not something you want to see. I told people you do not want to see that. I've actually seen a baby that passed away in a hot car. I've actually seen that. And you don't want to see that. You don't want to see
wow.
that, but having the conversation like we're having now, and maybe just, I put it on my Facebook page and my every day, please do not leave your child in the car alone. I don't necessarily say hot car, but I said just don't leave your child in a car alone, and lock your car when it's in your garage, when it's in your carport, when it's parked in front of your house, because the toddlers are going to the cars, opening them up, getting inside, electric locks click in, and they can't get out of the car.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Yes,
we appreciate you. Derek, did you have any comments on that?
Well, I was just going to mention, you know, Pam hit it on the head. Being from Tucson in the desert, you know, that's more prevalent situation than anything.
Yes.
You know, you think about Tucson and Phoenix where it gets 115, 118 degrees, you know, and it doesn't take long. A kid can be in the car for five to 10 minutes and be dead. But I was going to say, too, Pam, you remember that same public service announcement at the end of the night where it used to say, where it would say, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are? You know, later on it got to be a thing where it said, it's 10 p.m., do you know where you are? You know.
Yes. But, I remember, and I think there's a gentleman here in Phoenix, Arizona. His name is Dave Muncie. And in Phoenix, Arizona, 25 years ago, we had drownings in backyard pools almost every day. 2 and 3 children were falling in backyard pools and drowning. He started saying, watch your kids around water after his newscast. That was 25 years ago. He says that today, backyard drownings dropped over 90% in Phoenix because of him saying that on his newscast every day. And he still says it. So we don't have, I mean, we had one or two this year, but they were tourists in a hotel. But backyard pool drownings for Arizona has dropped. And that little public service announcement helped curtail that. It helped curtail that. So on the end of a newscast or a weathercast, if somebody says, hey, just a reminder, please don't leave your child in a car alone. They don't have to say hot car. They don't have to say, just don't leave your child in car alone. Always be conscious of that, okay? We're conscious of our cell phones, our purses, and other things that we have. We need to be conscious of our children.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that insight, Pam. We really appreciate it. Will you give your website out one more time for the listeners?
Okay, it's called Precious Little Cargo.
PreciousLittleCargo.com?
No, it's actually a Facebook page, but it's called Precious. If you go on Facebook and you type in Precious Little Cargo, that will come up. And it's just a reminder. Some people are putting on there what they do to help remind that I have a kid in the car, and it's dedicated to the children that has been lost. But I've had a couple of hits. But I'd just like to get that out because we need to help our babies. We need to let them, the little kings and princesses, grow up so that they can help change our world. They can't do that if we're not protecting them. They can't do it themselves, so we have to.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, wonderful. I just went on your page and liked the Precious Little Cargo page, so now I'm following you all on Facebook, and I'll get your updates. Thank you so much, Pam.
Okay.
We have a super
You are very
day.
Welcome. Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks, Derek. I'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Okay, sugar. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. God bless. Wow, that's a real, real unfortunate thing, Derek. It's so unfortunate that we have still have incidents like that. And I want to shift back a little bit to the discussion about the Tulsa, Oklahoma unarmed black man who was killed this morning. I want to just transition into the whole kneeling thing that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks with Kaepernick. And, you know, I've seen a lot of posts on social media today, and people are saying now this is why Kaepernick is kneeling. Now, what, you know, do you hear us now? Do you get it now? And I still think a lot of people just are not getting it there.
And they're not going to, Tasha. That's what infuriates me so much is that the fact that we've got people who are still not going to even – they're going to hide their eyes. And it's just kind of like the Donald Trump issue where people hear him, they see his actions and all that, but then they hide their eyes like they don't see it. You know, you got those people who are his followers who are not going to see him if they're doing anything wrong. They're not going to hear him saying anything wrong. And that's what it is here in this same instance. We have people who are set in their minds and their souls, and for whatever reason, whether it's racism or the social consciousness of them not being what it should be, they're not going to even tie the two together, because they look at it like, well, this black man who should be grateful for making all this money playing football got the nerve to not stand up for the president. And see, here's what gets me, Tasha, and you, as an individual, even brought it to this forefront as being a former military person. That is, you know, I don't know if you saw, I tagged you in the Jesse Ventura little thing that I put on Facebook, and Jesse Ventura himself, he said he salutes Colin Kaepernick for his stand on, because that's what you do. Like you said, that's what you all fought for, is for the right to protest. And, you know, whether you agree with him or not, you can't be up there knocking him and calling him out of his name and the N-word, and that just proves the point of where your mind really is. How are you going to say that he shouldn't do that, but you call him the N-word, then that's a case in itself. So it's just mind-boggling to how backwards people are in thinking and having the way to feel about stuff. You know, there's people say, well, you know, he should be grateful being an American and da da da. Well, that ain't got even to do with it. His whole thing is making the stand for the injustices and racism that's just in America, which has been a problem forever, continue to be one forever. So when is it going to end?
Right.
And what do we have to do to make it?
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. It's very, very, very frustrating and very unfortunate that another family had to lose a loved one. You know, it's unbelievable. I shake my head, because it's like, when is enough enough? When will this be over?
And then too, you know, what gets me is, and I think this is the mentality and the psyche, I think, of people. They look at it like, you know, there's people out there that think that anytime there's a African American that's fatally shot, whether it's in justifiable or whether it's, you know, in most cases unarmed and that kind of thing, they always have the tendency to think, well, he must have done something wrong. He deserved it, you know. He should have been doing what he was doing, whatever it was, and, you know, that kind of thing. But those are the ignorance. Those are the ignorant racist people that rather see us back in the 18, whenever it was, when we were lynched for over nothing, you know. That
right.
kind of stuff. You know, these are those people who their mindset is the only good end is a dead end. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And those are ones who are, you know, and you know what I mean when I say not END, but the N word, you know. So,
right.
And that's the mentality. That's the mentality, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, people don't like to admit it, and then they're in denial of it in many cases, but it is what it is. There's so many things that come about and surface that's so obvious with where their minds really are and where their hearts really are, and then the rhetoric that comes behind the thinking and the feeling of people who can't help being or feeling what they do, you know?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely, Derek. I want to jump in here and give the dial-in number for those of you who are listening online. We've had some great conversation this morning, some great calls, input on our the information we're talking about today. If you want to join the conversation, if you have a thought or opinion, or if you just want to express yourself and vent about what's going on in the world today, please feel free to call us. The dial-in number is 323-642-1299. Again, that's 323-642-1299. Press option 1. Now let us know that you have a question or a comment. I'm Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith, and I have with me my co-host, Derek Scales Shelton. So, Derek, I want to transition to something a little bit lighter and a little funny to me. I want to lighten the atmosphere up just a tad bit. You know, I had the opportunity to watch a video yesterday. I don't know how many people saw the video I posted yesterday on my page, on my Facebook page, about the black pastor who fabricated his credentials, and he was busted while supporting Donald Trump. Did you hear about that? There.
I know the pattern, and I saw you post because you actually you tagged me in that, and I didn't get a chance to go and read about it. But I know the pastor, that pastor was the one who was going. Oh, yeah, matter of fact, he was at the end, the national convention, wasn't he, for the Republican convention? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now I didn't get a chance to read the article as far as I was trying to get things together and getting my laundry done before I came on, which is why I was a little late in calling in. But I didn't get a chance to read. But please, Doc, elaborate on what's going on with that. I remember the guy talking all boastful at the RNC.
Oh my goodness. Okay. His name is Pastor Mark Burns, and I believe he's out of South Carolina. I want to say South Carolina or North Carolina, one of the Carolinas. Well, he basically was, for lack of better words, a nobody before all of this happened. And when I say nobody, I'm not saying that he's a nobody, but he was not very well known. So that's pretty bad. I can't say a nobody. But as far as popularity, he wasn't very popular. He was a pretty unpopular dude. In fact, his church only had maybe a few chairs, which probably is not uncommon because he's more of a televangelist than he is a local physical pastor. And being a pastor of a virtual church, you know, I get that. You don't have necessarily a physical location per se. But anyway, so he made his debut on the stage, if you will, at the Republican National Convention. Some of our listeners may remember there was a black pastor who actually basically called Hillary Clinton and the Democrats the devil, basically said that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are all evil and, you know, Trump is like the savior and, you know, so on and so on. So that drew a lot of attention to this pastor. And a few of the things that he fabricated on, now this information was actually on his church website. And it started because he said that he was a Kappa Alpha Psi. He was a Kappa guy. And he said that he had went to, I can't remember. I don't want to make it up, but I think it was Morehouse. But he said that, it wasn't Morehouse. It was another school. He said that he was a Kappa. He said that he had his master's degree in, like, divinity or theology or something. So it turns out one of the Kappas saw this and did some research on him. No Mark Burns whatsoever in the history of the Kappa rosters. So
I was getting ready to say, because, you know, hey, Tasha, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was going to jump in real quick because, I'm a Kappa. So I was getting ready to say, I know he had to fabricate that the way he sounded. That was one of the main things he had to fabricate because he didn't sound like a Kappa to me.
You say you're a Kappa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember we talked about it when we had, I can't remember the group that we had on.
Oh, yeah, we talked about the frat lady, fraternity.
Yeah,
That's right. Well, he was claiming your brotherhood, Derek.
that was a giveaway right there. If he was doing all with him saying what he was, I knew he wasn't no frat.
Well, I'm telling you, I can't make this stuff up, Derek. So so the Kappa, I can't remember the gentleman's name who did some research, but he went public and said, hey, this guy is making this stuff up, basically. So one of the black news anchors, I can't remember his name, he interviewed this pastor. And so he started asking him all these questions about things that were on his website. And so once the media got wind that he had fabricated a lot of things, his website mysteriously was taken down. But, you know, the news media finds ways to, they found a way to go into an archive of his, like a history or historical references of his website. So he had lied, Derek, about school, about his education. He not only did he not have a master's degree, but he only went to college for one semester. So he didn't have a bachelor's degree either.
Wow.
Now that wouldn't, you know, it's if you don't have a bachelor's degree, that, you know, that's okay. There's a lot of people who don't have degrees, but don't say you have a master's and a bachelor's degree. And don't say you're a part of a an organization that you're a fraternity that you've never been involved for. So when they were interviewing him, it was quite comical, honestly, because he said, "Well, that somebody hacked my website."
Yeah, right.
So he said somebody hacked his website and made up all these untruths about him. And then the interviewer, the news anchor, was saying, "So you're saying that you never said that you were a Kappa?" And he said, "No, I'm not saying that." He started getting twisted up, and he said, "Well, I did start the process of becoming a Kappa." So he went from being a Kappa to starting the process of being a Kappa. And then when he asked him about school, he said somebody hacked his website, and then he got all upset with the news anchor, and he's like, "You know, I thought this was off the record, and you're trapping me." And guess why he said he was trapping him?
Why's that?
And this is what just bothers me when people pull the race card when they're wrong. He said,
"Definitely."
He was being targeted because he was a black man supporting Donald Trump. So you're being targeted because you lied. It's unbelievable, Derek. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first let me put it out there. You know, there's a lot of people who want to be Kappas, and if they got a lie to do it, then I guess that's one way to try to be one until somebody finds out. But anyway, that being said, you know, that just goes to show you, Tasha, how wrong people can be no matter who they are. You know, my thing was, like, you know, I mentioned how my mother raised us in saying, you know, you do what you're supposed to do, and you own up to the wrong in that, and if you get caught doing wrong or whatever, you're going to take your licks. But if you're in the right, then I got your back, you know.
Right.
So, you know, there's right and wrong in everybody, you know, white, black, green, purple, hazel, whatever, you know, and we can't play the race card when we're in the wrong, because it makes it wrong for when we do have an issue when it comes to race. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the boy cry wolf kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So this guy, I kind of thought something was up with him as he was talking and elaborating the way he did on the national Republican thing that I happened to be watching, because it was entertaining, you know, something for to watch. But I knew something was up with that guy, you know, and I felt like, you know, this dude is just too wishy-washy acting here to be saying what he's saying and being the person he's supposed to be, or he appears to be, or says he is, you know. So it doesn't surprise me, Tasha. We see it all the time that people are just out there doing all kind of things. And the thing is where is it going to end? You know, I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong, and he's wrong. He's wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just really – it highlights the type of people that Donald Trump has on his team, and the type of person, in my opinion, that Donald Trump is. It just reinforces that the fact that this guy is full of lies. He knew, well, I don't know if he knew that this gentleman was fabricating the truth, because what happened is after that interview, the pastor later came back and said, "Well, I did, I was wrong." He admitted that he was wrong. He admitted that he lied. Because this is what happened, Derek. At the end of the interview, the pastor, well, it wasn't even the end. In the middle of the interview, the pastor just got up and walked out, got in his van, and left. The thing is, he left his own church. He left the interviewer sitting there in his own church and physically left and drove off. I personally think he was probably just embarrassed, and he had gotten caught. He was embarrassed, and he got caught. And had he not gotten caught, I don't believe he would have ever come out and said the truth. And so I believe that he probably, when it aired, Donald Trump probably got news of it, got wind of it, or his camp got wind of it and said, hey, you got to go ahead and admit to this and clean it up. And had that not happened, had he not gotten busted, he would still be, you know, on the Trump campaign and still, it just goes to show that, you know, what's done in the dark always comes to light. And this guy, he totally made that stuff up. It's just crazy.
See, I got to break out somebody every now and then when we get an instance, you know, and somebody like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan would be here today saying something like, well, you know, Donald, you play that role and you get what you think, and there you have it. You got someone just like you, and now won't you come out and admit to your lies, Donald?
Right. Wow.
Ronald Reagan is turning in his grave. Ronald Reagan is turning in his grave, believe me.
Oh, absolutely. And the forefathers are too. Absolutely. Well, there is 12:57. I can't believe our time is up already. I have one other topic that I wanted to discuss, and that was the mental health of our military vets that are coming back. But we'll table that to next week. We're going to talk about the mental health epidemic here in the United States and this 22 push-up challenge that is going viral, has gone viral over the last month on the internet. So we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to have my cousin Meredith McGee on next week, and we're going to talk to her about her new children's book that she has out, as well as her book that she did on James Meredith, a prominent civil rights activist. So we got a good show lined up next week. For those of you who may have just joined us, please join us next week. You can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/live-love-laugh, or you can dial in and listen to us 323-642-1299. Derek, I can't believe our time is up already.
Oh, gosh. I mean, this one seemed like it went faster than many of the others, which seemed like they went too fast. You know, we got Pam to call in and elaborate on the police issue, as well as about the kids being left in cars and around pools unattended. And, you know, these things make a difference. And you know, I feel so much better, Tasha, after our talk. I mean, it was me being able to vent. And I know I came off a little bit angry there a couple of times, but that's what it is. It's frustration. And you hit it right on the head when you said it's so frustrating of what we have to deal with. And those of us who really want to see a difference and make a difference are too few in between what we need, you know. And I just, mm-hmm. you know, I look forward to our talk next week for sure, and have three authors all on at the same time. That's going to be real fun.
Absolutely. You know, that's how I will plug it, is that we're going to have an author's venue or discussion next week. And matter of fact, if you've got a digital picture of your book, please send it to me, Derek, and we'll plug it for our conversation next week. And I'm so glad
okay,
you feel better.
Yeah, sure. Oh, thank you. I mean, I've been down about it, and you know, thinking about just so much of everything going on. You know, we've got the recent bombings going on in New York, New Jersey,
we didn't talk about
stuff
that
like
either.
That. Oh, it's just so much. It's so much, Tasha. You know, it's something every second. I mean, as we speak, there's going to be something else that could be newsworthy and for us to be able to talk about, and that's what's so sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll definitely talk about the terrorist attacks next week, and we'll talk about what's going on. And that'll be a good week to talk about that, because we'll talk about the history of James Meredith, and Meredith McGee can enlighten us and our audience on that. And then we'll segue into the terrorist attack. So we have run out of time, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the Live, Love, Laugh station, specifically the Tuesday Talk with Dr. Parker Meredith and Derek Shelton. I am Dr. Parker Meredith, and I appreciate you so much for calling in and listening. Want to give a special shout-out to my mama for calling in and giving us our weekly update on Dancing with the Stars and Ryan Lochte. And also want to give a shout-out to Pamela Cook for calling in and and sharing her thoughts with us on not leaving children in hot or cold cars. And I always, always want to give a warm, happy, happy thank you to my co-host, Derek Shelton. Derek Shelton, I appreciate you joining me today. You always uplift me on Tuesdays, and I appreciate and I love you.
And ditto to the 20th power on my end, Tasha. Ditto to the 20th power.
All right, y'all have a great week, and we'll see you right here for Tuesday Talk next week. Have a great one.